Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Update on the Iran problem.
The battle for America is on.
It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The Iran problem is the current Islamist regime. The problem is not nuclear capability, although we certainly don't want them to get that, but it's because of who they are. Many nations have nuclear weapons, but they're not a threat. The difference is not whether or not the country Iran obtains nuclear weapons, but whether or not Iran remains under the jihadist rulers. The Iran problem will persist so long as they are governed by a maniacal regime. I call them the Iraniacs. We must be grateful that Muhammad's religious maniacs are not sufficiently devious as to pretend to be responsible neighbors among the nations. What if they quietly over time had slowly incrementally pursued their nuclear ambition, carrying an olive branch between their teeth with sweet flatteries on their tongue? Well, we would be doomed today. If the religious jihadi ideologues were not controlled by their father Ishmael's irascible, irrational character, we would be doomed today. Believe me, God described it this way. He said concerning Ishmael, he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Genesis 16:12. It seems likely Ishmael's characteristic raging was triggered by envy of his brother Isaac. It's called the old hatred in Ezekiel 25:15, an envy driven by an irrational perception that Isaac took something from him. God settled on Ishmael the lion's share of the inheritance promised to Abraham. Did you know that? It's true. God promised Abraham's seed would occupy all the territory from the length of the Euphrates, from the Nile all the way across the continent there into Turkey, and then west to the sea. Later, after Ishmael was born, God told Abraham that Isaac, not Ishmael, would be the promised seed. And at that time, he settled on Isaac the land called Canaan, roughly defined by the length of the Jordan River, and then westward to the sea. What if, instead of snarling in their irrational hatred, death to Israel and death to America, they carried their sacrificial knives hidden in their left hands, and instead of Allahu Akbar, they said, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, as they took our beards in their right hand and sweetly spoke, Ya Sadiqi, which means my friend, in our ear, as they thrust the deadly blade into our hearts, you know, in the manner of a Jew named Joab, to another Jew named Amasa. Anyway, 2 Samuel 28:11. Instead, like sons of Ishmael, they shook their fists and, frothing hatefully, chanted, death to America, death to the great Satan, and death to Israel, to the little Satan. Crazy people. And then, gratefully, we listened and watched as they infiltrated our country, our politics, and then positioned themselves to act on their threat. But God had mercy and raised up a Gideon, a movement called MAGA. There have been at least 5 starts and stops in this ongoing negotiation with Iran. It's maddening. I'm sure many of you are just getting crazy with this, like me. But we need to look more closely and pay attention. The nearest thing to this in history would be the negotiations that went on for peace with Japan. Now, Japan was beaten, but the government was divided between those who wanted to continue the war and those who were ready to accept defeat and declare unconditional surrender. Actually, everyone in Japan's leadership knew they were beaten militarily, but a significant faction within leadership wanted to go, you know, total Kawasaki kind of thing, or commit national hara-kiri. Some in this group advised the emperor to hope that doing so would inflict enough hurt on the U.S. to compel them to accept terms favorable to Japan. About an equal number were done with senseless loss of life and ready to throw up the white flag. Truman made the fateful commitment to end the war, definitively. Two atomic bombs were dropped on Japan. The first was Hiroshima, and it was called Little Boy. It got their attention, but did not bring them to their knees. The second, called Fat Boy, was detonated over Nagasaki. Now that one brought the emperor out of hiding, waving the white flag of full surrender. Like the Japanese, the enemy we are dealing with believes their God is greater than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in whom we trust. And like the Japanese, the Iraniacs know they have lost. And like the Japanese, their leadership is divided between those who have a careless and callous disregard for life, advising their supreme leader to trust Allah and to die for Allah, to them, a death of honor, despising surrender as something akin to blasphemy. And like Japan, they will not surrender until their spirit is broken. Now, I don't recommend we drop nukes on them. That's not what I'm saying at all. I do recommend we take out the regime and break their hold on that nation and its resources. Now, this won't happen until they are pulverized and the idol of their heart is defeated. The only thing that will defeat them is to break their God. And though they call him Allah, the truth is, his name is Mammon. If Mammon forsakes them, they fall. The only thing that has brought them anywhere near accepting reasonable terms of surrender has been economic collapse. Notice that in the latest round of military action, we took out more of their air defense systems, knocked out more of their military communications, installations, and so on, hit their coastal radar and surveillance support, all strategic and all important. They hit more of their missile launch and support facilities. But you want to know when the pigs began to squeal? It's when we hit their water infrastructure. And although that got their attention, do you want to know what brought them to the table? Begging for a deal? When Trump ordered the seizure of Karg Island. The little piggies came squealing. That's the jewel of Iran, you see. It's the temple of their god, Mammon. Many in America think Mammon presides as the god of America. That's not true, actually. There are plenty who worship him here, but in our motto, "In God We Trust," we don't mean Mammon. They hit the World Trade Center, remember? And not one word of complaint went up about what that did to our economy. The focus was entirely on the lives that were lost that day. The worldlings don't understand Americans. They try to stir up distress among us about oil prices. And then Memorial Day rolls around, and we find a marked uptick in vehicle and air travel, not the depressed grumbling and moaning they anticipated. And I'll tell you something else. The MAGA Americans don't like the jacked up fuel prices any more than anyone else, but they don't connect that to Trump's effort to keep America safe from crazy lunatics getting their hands on atomic weapons. They connect it to the price we're obliged to pay because of Obama's and Hillary's financing and arming these radical nut jobs who have such a careless and callous disregard for life, they buy power for themselves with terror and the shedding of innocent blood. There is a thing in the American psyche that says this is wrong and it must be made right. We don't succumb to injustice. And we have a keen sensitivity to it. It's been used against us by the Democrats. But after a while, we see through it. We have seen through it. And we initiate major correction. So, if it's true, as I have heard, that we have a list of Iraniac leaders and their locations, use it and get this done. Hit their god. Invade his temple. Take Karg Island. Do the Venezuela on them. Collapse their economy. Starve out the dictators. You see, they'll crumble before the people will. This sort of dictator sacrifices everyone around him for his comfort and service. Real leaders sacrifice their own comfort for for those they serve. Dictators live in fear and are only confident and bold when everyone around them is cowering to them. But here is the sad, though undeniable fact. Peace with this regime is peace with the devil. Even if we do break them into signing a deal, the deal is only going to be as good as the word of those who make it. Obama's deal with the devil was ridiculous, and yet the devils immediately began to violate its terms. When dealing with the devil, it is foolish not to assume, well, that he's a liar. After all, he is the father of lies. He is a thief, and he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's violent. That's what the jihadist Islamist is. Bears the marks of, well, their father. It's past what they do, and it has become what they are. Thinking about historical parallels, the Korean War was settled with what amounts to a very long ceasefire and armistice. Technically, North and South Korea, did you know this, are still at war. The negotiations that settled the Korean Peninsula into North, Kim Jong-un with atomic bombs, anyone? And South, under the nuclear umbrella of the United States. It took 2 years of on and off talks. You know, the infamous Battle of Pork Chop Hill was fought toward the end of open hostilities between them and occurred during these peace talks. This sure is not the kind of scenario we want. The lesson from history that I'm trying to communicate is that when fighting an ideologically defined and motivated enemy, a decisive victory is required. We are fortunate that Japan was organized around a deified emperor who had at least enough love for his land and of his people that he did not want to expose them to a barrage of atomic bombs. He specifically mentioned the introduction into the war of a new and most cruel bomb in his bid for peace. The difference with Iran is that the ruling regime is not Iranian. Yeah, they have no bond with the land or the people. They simply don't care about Iran. So what do they care if you blow it to pieces? So what do they care enough about to be compelled to make peace? Well, it isn't Allah. Iran has no supreme leader with any real political or military influence. The constitution of Iran vests the ultimate power in the supreme leader, but everyone knows the IRGC is where the real power is, not the supreme leader, certainly not the present one, and not Iran's political staff, the president, and so on. The IRGC is run by a pack of wolves. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps commands the arsenal of Iran. The Iranian army is separate and actually operates under the command and control of the IRGC. The IRGC is not organized or commissioned to protect the people of Iran. Its mission is to protect the regime. The IRGC is supposed to be subordinate to the supreme leader, but well, he was killed, and you know, this gay Ayatollah just doesn't have the respect of the leadership at all. And he's barely able to function physically anyway, and he's basically out of the way. There's something else you need to know. The IRGC has evolved way beyond a military operation merely. Over the last few decades, it has become increasingly active and influential in the political realm. Now, after the end of the Iran-Iraq War, the supreme leader tasked the IRGC with rebuilding the infrastructure of Iran. That's interesting. The IRGC became a controlling economic conglomerate. Yeah, that's what analysts have called it for some time now, an economic conglomerate running virtually all major economic centers of the country, literally owning and operating its oil business activities. Some estimates of the extent of the IRGC's control over Iran's economy exceed, in some estimates, 50%. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard has holdings in construction, oil and natural gas, petrochemicals, telecommunications, mining, banking and finance, shipping, ports and logistics, manufacturing and import-export operations. And according to Fortune's Jason Ma, quote, Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard controls a sprawling business empire that dominates the economy, end quote. The significance of this is huge. It means the IRGC is not economically dependent upon the government of Iran. But the reverse is true. The IRGC is organized almost identically to a mob operation. They control the economy of Iran and use the force of arms to protect their interests. These guys serve mammon, friend, attack the economy, and you cut them to the heart. The problem is that this means these vermin are deeply embedded in and inextricably connected to the country's economic well-being. So there's no way to exterminate them without hurting the economy. Trump doesn't want to do that. He's attempting a measured approach, increasing intensity incrementally, hoping soon to find the Nagasaki moment, minus the atomic bomb, of course. You know what I mean. The moment that the IRGC will cry uncle and yield. We need an economic fat boy to drop on their heads to break their grip on power in Iran, and I think that's Karg Island. I appreciate all of you who joined me here on the Brain Massage Show. If you enjoy the show and find it helpful, please consider supporting our effort. For the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can be a great encouragement and help to our cause. Go to brainmassage.net and make a one-time donation or set up a monthly gift of whatever amount appropriately fits your budget, what you can do, and it shows your appreciation for the program.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps to the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Trump has said it out loud, and he intended for us to hear it. He knows, ultimately, what must be done. We've got to take Karg Island. I get it, and Trump is right. The cry will be, no blood for oil. The best of all worlds. What needs to happen is, well, one, the Arab nations, perhaps those organized under the Abraham Accords, would take counsel together and send the Iraniacs an envoy demanding that the regime stand down and grant the Iranians the inalienable right of the consent of the governed. Now, many of the nations in the Abraham Accords hold at least some form of election. Even Iran holds elections for candidates approved by the Guardian Council. Ha! That's a joke, of course. But only slightly less funny than California. The Democrats here, and in our nation, do the same sort of thing, only it's a bit more complicated for them. Remember Bernie and Biden, watch Pratt and Hilton. In fact, the Iraniacs are at least opening up front about it. Well, anyway, God is opening it up for everyone to see, and now the entire nation is looking at the dark side of politics, the underbelly of California, getting dragged out into the disinfecting light of truth. Anyway, the grease the pig scenario. One more analogy to the challenges we face when dealing with the IRGC. Negotiating with the Iraniacs is like attempting to grab and hold a squealing, squirming, greased pig with greased hands, arms, legs, and feet. Add to this the unhappy prospect that if you do happen to somehow secure the pig, it will not deliver the hoped-for pork chops so long as it lives. Har har. From the Iraniac perspective, surrender to the United States is asking the pig to tear off its own ribs, throw them on the barbecue, and then serve them to a pig eater. I mean, from the Iraniac perspective, they would have to assume the role of the pig, in my analogy, and that gives the pig a lot of motivation to resist. They cannot be allowed to relax for 1 second. But with all that said, and all that can be done, done. It is as unreasonable to expect an honest deal with a dedicated jihadist Islamist as it is to expect the Ethiopian can change his skin or the leopard its spots. And certainly not through negotiation. Suppose you do get a deal. Suppose they sign an agreement that is ironclad. Does anyone really think that they will honor their agreement? At the first opportunity, they'll break it. We'll be babysitting this thing and dealing with their nonsense for exactly as long as their irrational, irascible, ill-mannered regime remains in power. Period. Now, here are the issues of the deal that's being hammered out right now between the United States and Iran. According to Reuters, cessation of hostilities, that's Hezbollah, Israel, as well as Iran, Israel, and Iran, and everyone else, nuclear restrictions, inspections, reopening the strait, and outlining the phases that must be accomplished before the U.S. eases sanctions. Now, this is taken from an article headlined, Iran deal very close, signing possible in coming days, U.S. official says. On the same day, June 12, 2026, by the way, literally 2.5 hours later, the same news source reports, quote, Iran's Arachi says no nuclear talks unless interim deal is implemented, end quote. Now, I know this is maddening. The nuclear issue is a solid red line for Trump. I understand what these thugs are doing. They refuse to let go of the only thing they have they could use to forced Trump to his knees, they think, in submission. That's the meaning of the word Islam, by the way. In submission to their demands. Their chief demand is sanctions relief. That's their God. They want Trump to buy their promise to give up their pursuit of nuclear weapons the way Obama did. They want Trump to pay for any promised delivery on their repeated overtures to our negotiators to cooperate with the rich uranium situation. The standoff is Iran to Trump, release our money. Trump to Iran, sign the agreement regarding the nukes, perform on your promise, and then we'll talk about the sanctions relief. Now, we need to see good faith performance on the nuclear stuff, right? They think they're going to bribe Trump like they did Obama. I would not be the least bit surprised to learn that Obama is coaching these devils or trying to influence them. Now we know what we've known all along. Hezbollah is an arm of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. Iran has denied this. Hezbollah has denied this. But we've all known that Iran spawned the terrorist organization along with Hamas as recently as June 5, 2026 in an article titled Iran Using Lebanon as Bargaining Chip in U.S. Talks, Lebanese president says. Reuters states flatly, quote, Shiite Muslim Hezbollah, founded by Iran's Revolutionary Guards in 1982, end quote. Yeah, see, this is no longer in dispute. Evidence of the organic connection is exposed in the attempt by Iraniacs to connect Hezbollah to their peace negotiations with the United States. What does this mean with regard to current negotiations? Listen, IRGC has insisted that we connect Hezbollah in southern Lebanon to negotiations with the IRGC. But if Hezbollah is independent, shouldn't they negotiate directly with Israel? Well, you see, here is the rub. Hezbollah is designated a terrorist organization by the United States, and rightly so, which has embedded itself within Lebanon. Now, read this article for more on Hezbollah's invasion of Lebanon, linked in my notes. Iran continues to insist that the Israel-Hezbollah conflict must be attached to any deal made between the United States and Iran, right? Okay, this arises in part from our insistence that whatever deal we make with Iran includes a cessation of regional hostilities, including those between Iran and Israel, and also between Hezbollah and Israel. But as I indicated earlier, the difference between U.S. support of Israel and Iran's support of Hezbollah is, first, that Hezbollah is not a country. Israel is. The country in which Hezbollah currently operates tolerates them rather than embraces them. What does this mean? In the recent talks between Lebanon and Israel, moderated by the United States, in view of the weakening of Hezbollah and the U.S. interest in removing the Hezbollah issue out of the way of Trump's negotiations with Iran, and also a desire to encourage good relations between Lebanon and Israel, you know, like in the days of Israeli King David and King Solomon, 2 Samuel 5:11 and 1 Kings 5:1. Lebanon has formally and publicly rejected Hezbollah's independent authority to wage war or to speak for Lebanon. This is very important. Terrorist groups move into a city and arrogantly mark off several blocks, set up checkpoints, and control traffic in and out of those sections. And if the government does nothing, if those charged with the duty to protect their citizens from thugs and mobs fail to act, this can become a permanent thing, as it has in Lebanon. The Lebanese are weary of the Hezbollah gang that has moved into southern Lebanon and taken over large portions of their communities. On March 2, 2026, President Aoun, I guess that's how you pronounce it, A-O-U-N, declared, quote, only the Lebanese state has authority over questions of war and peace. Reuters quotes the president's response to Hezbollah's presumption to speak for the Lebanese people, saying, quote, the Lebanese people are not your people, end quote. So, okay, if Iran insists that Hezbollah is an Iranian asset and connected to Iran, well then, one, the IRGC, Iraniacs, must take responsibility for all acts of Hezbollah. And two, any actions taken by Hezbollah are to be responded to as actions of the IRGC. And three, attacks by Hezbollah against Israel are violations of the ceasefire arrangement. And four, Israel responds to Hezbollah, and the U.S. strikes Iran in response to every breach of the ceasefire by Hezbollah. Now, I hope this helps. Hey, the Belfast blast is spreading fast. Armed Irish groups are directly calling out the politicians. Here's a statement from the New Republican Movement dated November 28, 2025, about 7 months ago or so, linked in my notes. Because of the backlash over another event that occurred last year, something you've heard about, I'm sure, the murder of Henry Nowak by radical Muslim Vikram Digwa, convicted of murder, by the way, this latest uprising spurred by the release of video showing the ineptness of the police in their response to this murder. It's outrageous. It's pulling Catholics and Protestants together into a modern-day crusade against Muslim immigrants. This thing has exploded into Scotland, by the way, where hundreds of young people in Glasgow are rising up against illegal immigrants carrying Templar flags. A fire has been lit in the hearts of patriotic Brits, Micks, and Scots that will blaze over Europe. An immigrant from Algeria stabbed three little girls in Dublin. Then we got Act Blue CEO pleading the fifth about, 50 times? Well, the article says 20. But anyway, to questions about whether Russia was funding Democrat campaigns through Act Blue. What? Just when you thought the whole Russiagate thing couldn't get any weirder. Wait till you hear about the magic mortgage scam. And California election fraud is going to take down the Democrat Party in the state. Pratt is going to fight against what ain't right. And Thune, well, he sings a traitor's tune when he refuses to put Tim Burkett's House bill forward in the Senate to defund the Taliban. What's that about? He says it's not something we would consider putting on the floor at this point. And there's so much more, but I must bid you adieu. Tune in to Brain Massage Live Saturday night between 8 and 9 p.m. Go to brainmassage.net to sign up for notifications for when I go on. I've lit the lamps to the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me from our website, brainmassage.net. Find the Contact Us button and fill in the form there and click send. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline, 805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church. I appreciate all of you who join me here on the Brain Massage Show. If you enjoy the show and find it helpful, please consider supporting our effort. For the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can be a great encouragement and help to our cause. Go to brainmassage.net and make a one-time donation or set up a monthly gift of whatever amount appropriately fits your budget, what you can do, and it shows your appreciation for the program.
Go to GodsWar2020.com. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.